Hello and welcome to Spartan Speak, a podcast from the Lansing State Journal and Detroit Free Press, focused on Michigan State sports. I'm Phil Friend, your host, podcast producer, and sports writer for the LSJ, joined by Record Scratch, not Chris Solari and Graham Couch. I am joined by Lansing State Journal sports storyteller, Nate Atkins. Nate, welcome to the Spartan Speak podcast. I believe this is your second time appearing on it?
Something like that. It might be the third time. I came in after a couple of Michigan State's worst games when they had to roll in the B crew. this is the first time, though, in a normal week setting, though, and it's what a time to roll it out, you know, with the weirdness of 2020. You know, got to do things different, got to shake it up. So there's not much more shaking it up that you can do than a film-based podcast before we even have a depth chart. I mean,
Michigan State isn't the only team that hasn't released a depth chart, but it certainly did not help people in trying to, well, maybe, you know, ultimately, I guess sports writers, maybe the college football teams don't care, you know, about sports writers and what they need to do and stuff like that. But it would have been helpful, a little helpful to maybe release a depth chart, kind of at least a little guide to see where things are going forward here. So you kind of mentioned this. I guess I should have said this maybe off the top before I introduced you. This is a podcast that will still appear under the Spartan Speak banner every Thursday, but this will be a different podcast we're doing. This will be we're tentatively calling this the Film Room podcast, where it'll be me and Nate Atkins every week, every Thursday, be dropping into your podcast listening app of choice, where Nate is going to take a look at the Michigan State film and then the opponents of Michigan State as well, and we will talk about tendencies, what we're seeing, what we're not seeing. Where Nate thinks Mel Tucker's doing good, where Mel Tucker's doing bad, and maybe what him and his staff can exploit on their future opponent.
Yeah, just something different we thought we'd try this year, and I'm going to be a little coach speak at times and say, you know, we're just trying to get better one week at a time, because obviously the easy challenge right now is we haven't even seen a snap of Michigan State in a practice setting. We didn't even get to see him in the spring practice or a spring game with the weirdness of how 2020 went. So each week when we get a little bit more film, once we have one Michigan State game, then two, then three, I think it'll get a lot easier for us to see at least what this new coaching staff is trying to do. And that goes for other teams that are playing. So this week, you know, is about as big of a challenge as it gets with Michigan State, brand new coaching staff, Rutgers, brand new coaching staff. Neither one wants to, you know, even announce a starting quarterback, let alone, you know, give away any other secrets. But I do think there's plenty else we can learn just in the histories of the coaches and some of the guys on the roster and how they fit what these coaches have worked with before. And so this is kind of figuring out some initial impressions going into week one. And then, you know, we can always measure it up with how the week goes. And it's one of those things I think can just kind of grow in our understanding and maybe our curiosity just week by week.
Yeah, and we'll try our best to explain certain things going forward. When you mention the coach, like if you're saying 11 formation, 12 formation, 21 formation, stuff like that, we'll explain to you. If you don't know what that means, we'll explain to you guys exactly what that means. Although it's once you learn what it means. Sorry, I'm laughing. Nate's microphone fell. I was explaining that. It's a pretty simple explanation, and we know football coaches don't like simple, so it kind of helps a little bit in that way.
We're not exactly football coaches or football experts. So, you know, our goal is try to break it down as simply as we can. So we're not going to be talking on the level of, you know, the actual coaches themselves, but, you know, hopefully at least in a way that goes beyond what you might see just watching on a Saturday broadcast. And, you know, you're just trying to mesh it up with a lot of what we hear during the week from these interviews and what you understand about their backgrounds. So we'll do it as plainly as we can, but you know, we're learning as we go along as well.
Excuse me. I have 5 years as a junior high football coach under my belt, so I'm ready to explain everything as intricately as possible.
That's true. And anyone who played high school football in the state of Indiana, where you can make the playoffs at 0-9, is as qualified as they come.
Exactly.
I say having not even played my senior year of high school football, but we won't get into that. We're here to talk about a different team.
And I was most of the time being very sarcastic about my coaching. Well, I'm not sarcastic. I actually have the coaching background, but the things that we ran, the team I played for in high school and the schools I coached at in college, the offenses and defenses have evolved so much. Like my last year I coached was 2005, so that might as well be 1955 too, you know.
Well, so some people might mistake that offense for what Michigan State ran at times the past couple years.
Whoa.
So
whoa, shots fired already. We're not even 5 minutes into the podcast. I love it. All right. Well, let's get started here if you're ready, Nate.
Yep, ready to go.
All right. Well, first off, we're going to look at the Michigan State offense versus the Rutgers defense. As Nate mentioned, they both teams have new offensive coordinators, whereas Michigan State's is Jay Johnson, who came with Mel Tucker from Colorado and had previous stops at Southern Miss, Louisiana, and Minnesota. I mean, he's coached at a billion other places too, but those were his most recent offensive coordinator roles. And then Rutgers defensive coordinator is Rob Smith, who also has a relationship with his coach Greg Schiano at Rutgers. He was the defensive coordinator at Rutgers from 2009 to 2012. And was also with Schiano at Tampa Bay when he during that stint when he was, in retrospect, inexplicably the Buccaneers coach. So a lot to take in. These are all veteran, you know, when you're looking at Jay Johnson and Rob Smith, and we'll include Greg Schiano since he's a defensive guy like Mel Tucker. I mean, these guys have lengthy histories, so it's either a lot to take down or it's a lot of the same things to look on. So let's start with the Michigan State offense. What can we expect from Jay Johnson on Saturday versus Rutgers?
Yeah, interesting thing is, I mean, Jay Johnson, everywhere he goes, it's pretty obvious his background is quarterbacks, and it, you know, and it's all about managing the guy he has under center there. And so, you know, this is his second stint in the Big Ten. You know, he was at Minnesota back in 2016, and I kind of found that film to be as interesting and maybe as revealing as you know, the Colorado stuff from last year, because, you know, as we all know, Pac-12 offense is just a little different in nature than Big Ten offenses. But, you know, he's a guy who's going to run, you know, he's going to run a no-huddle spread offense at times, but it's really interesting the way that they vary their formations, because, you know, the one staple you'll see is he always has a quarterback who's not under center. He's back usually in pistol, sometimes in shotgun. They'll always have three receivers, but outside of that, you might have, you know, an offense that scrunches everybody right at the line of scrimmage and makes it just this chaos off the snap of the ball, or they spread it way out down the line where they're trying to get receivers all the way outside the numbers. And it just kind of has everything to do with what he's trying to get accomplished on that play, usually in the running game. So, you know, the best way to kind of think about the way they'll do it, I think, a lot here, because I think the strength of this Michigan State offense is in the wide receivers, at least the talent level. Now that you bring in Jaden Reed from Western Michigan, finally get a potential downfield vertical threat, is spread it out like that and create some of these kind of lighted boxes for a running back like Elijah Collins to take the ball up the middle. And, you know, they'll run out of pistol, they'll run out of shotgun. The running back is just, the tailback is way back in his alignment so that he can kind of get the ball and get rolling before he gets through the line. And so, you know, it kind of lightens things for the offensive line, which they'll need, because I don't think that's the strength of Michigan State this year by any stretch. But it's just going to be one of those. It's going to be interesting to see how Rutgers, obviously, specifically, but teams this season respect that talent on the outside, because, I mean, the guys we talk about, you know, whether it's, you know, Julian Barnett, Jalen Naylor, Jaden Reed, there's a lot of, you know, potential, but it's not guys who've done it in the Big Ten. And so, you know, it'll be an interesting chess match, especially on Saturday, as do they come out and does Rutgers just already respect the pure potential and the idea of what they're doing if they spread them out, or do they make them kind of prove it out wide before they actually spread it out and lighten that box? And that's what will be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that you think of the wide receivers are really the strong suit, because, and you also mentioned that they're relatively inexperienced. Yes, Jalen Naylor has had some big moments. Most of those were in 2018, and he's got plenty of games under his belt, but he's not, you know, he's not that experienced. And Trey Mosley got a little bit of time last year. Jaden Reed hasn't stepped on the field in 2018. So you would think that maybe, you know, Elijah Collins was the guy who really had the strongest 2019 out of those four. So you would think that maybe they would do the run game, or maybe focus on the game maybe a little bit more, even with, you know, the offensive line that you mentioned. So, but you don't think that will be the case?
Yeah, I think they are going to surprise us a little bit. It's just a hunch based on how I think they've kind of managed their personnel in the past. We may be, you know, I just think Michigan State was an offense that just had to, you know, like you said, these receivers weren't going. Like last year, they didn't have Jaden Reed. They didn't have this guy that could go outside the numbers and push it down the field. So they were kind of trying to win. Michigan State was trying to win kind of 4 yards at a time. And that's an offense Elijah Collins could do well, you know, not a breakaway runner, but a guy who, you know, absorbs contact pretty well and has some pretty good vision. I just think they like their receivers this year, and I think that's what's going to be a little bit different. But at the same time, you've got to mesh that with what's at quarterback, and that's kind of the huge mystery that's out there for Michigan State is just what the quarterback position will bring. I'm fully expecting it to be Rocky Lombardi on Saturday. I think that, you know, we've had some situations where it's just kind of this gamesmanship heading into it, but that's the guy who's been experienced and waiting for this role, who also has a skill set Jay Johnson looks for as a mobile quarterback. So it's going to be a lot of what, you know, whether he can connect down the field, but I think they really like the receivers they have, the potential they have to get the ball down the field, but it's all going to mesh together. I mean, I don't think spreading it out wide and outside the numbers means they're not believing Elijah Collins. I just think they think if we do that, we give him a lightened box, you know, then he can do some pretty neat things once he gets up, you know, past that initial wave.
Yeah, so we talked about the formations earlier. So we kind of expect them to come out in 11 formation a majority of the time then, right, with one running back, one tight end, which is where the 11 comes from, the running back numbers first, tight end numbers second, 11 formation, and then three wide receivers on top of that.
Yeah, I think they're almost always going to have three wide receivers. You will see some times where it gets a little bit confusing as to whether, in Jay Johnson's offense, whether a player is a tight end or a running back, because they just kind of, they kind of like line up offset sort of at a tight end spot, but sometimes it'll look like a full house backfield sort of deal. It's just a way to get extra blockers down in there. But you look at the skill set of Michigan State, I mean, their tight ends are not really built as blockers right now. They're built as athletes, which I think they will like in a lot of ways. But yeah, to your point, I think we're going to have more one tight end on the field because of that. These just aren't natural blockers you want to bring out there week one and expect it to work that way.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'll try to keep track inside too, the percentage of times that they come out in that formation. Same with, and then we'll see if they work. I don't think they would do a two running back backfield too much with Hayward and Collins in at the same time, but, or maybe we even see Hayward line up as an H-back or something like that.
I think they will use him that way. I think, again, it's hard. Week one's just so tough. We didn't have a spring game. Yeah. These kind of things they want to try out against a live defense. It's not just the guys they hit every day. Some of that's got to develop a little bit. But I do think in time they're looking at Connor Hayward that way. You know, he's a guy who's slimmed up, you know, entering this season and who's shown some ability to catch the ball. I do think they'll use him at times in some of these kind of play action. You'll see a lot of play action, or at least it's kind of like a soft play action and a weird pistol spaced out backfield. But they do a lot of this fake to a back and send them one way. And I think they'll use that to their advantage at times.
Now, regarding the pistol formation, did Michigan State run that a lot with Brian Lewerke, or was that basically straight shotgun when he was not underneath the center?
They were more traditional shotgun.
Okay.
Jay Johnson's looks a lot more like pistol. He'll do some shotgun too. It'll, you know, but it's just quarterbacks usually backed off the ball. They just like to have, like I said, the tailback back further than the quarterback,
right,
to both give the option to kind of give a soft play action look, but also when they do run it, just it kind of gives that back a little more of a charging start to the line of scrimmage, so that when he does meet a linebacker or a safety coming downhill, he's got a better chance.
So if you guys don't know the difference between pistol and shotgun, so let's say on a shot when the quarterback is lined up in shotgun, the quarterback is usually 6 yards, we'll say 5 or 6 yards off the line of scrimmage, whereas in the pistol formation it's roughly half that, so he'll only be 3 yards off the line of scrimmage and taking the shotgun snap. Do I have that correctly?
Yep, that's it.
Very good. You mentioned the quarterback situation. I personally think, I said this on the Spartan Speed podcast on Tuesday, and I'm not wavering, I think the fact that Mel Tucker refused to say Rocky Lombardi was a starting quarterback on Tuesday, I take it to mean it's going to be one of the other two guys on Saturday. Now, our Spartan Speak compadres, Kristen Grammer with you, and probably most of the Michigan State beat writers probably also feel Rocky Lombardi, but I am willing to put myself out there. So I'm just saying.
Spicy take in week one.
I know. As I said, that is my Skip Bayless level random hot take. So, but I mean, we haven't seen Theo Day and Peyton Thorne at all. I've never seen any of them in person. We didn't even get a limited chance to look at him in practice either. So it's really just a toss up.
Yeah, it's a mystery. I mean, that's why I'm hesitant to kind of break too much down based on their high school backgrounds. At least Rocky's a guy we've seen in a couple of starts, you know, back when he did play in 2018. He's a guy who came in as a dual threat quarterback, and he showed it at times. I mean, that was probably his biggest strength in 2018 was when he was able to take off with his feet. And that's just something you look at Jay Johnson quarterbacks. That's always a part of their background. You know, last time he was in the Big Ten, Mitch Leidner was his quarterback at Minnesota, ran for more touchdowns than he threw for. Now, I think some of that spoke to Leidner was not great throwing down the field, but you know, it's also a way to ease things into what Jay Johnson eventually wants him to be. That was his first year at Minnesota. I think he'll do stuff like that. If Rocky Lombardi is a quarterback or even another dual threat guy who's out there like Peyton Thorne, if it is, I think they're going to really rely on the legs because
yeah. It
does two things. It allows them to eventually set up the timing they need with like a Jaden Reed down the field. It's the hardest play to pull off in the game. But it also is going to really save them from their weakness at tackle when you can get the quarterback outside and moving away from that rather than in just stationary drop back.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about the Rutgers defense here a little bit. As I said earlier, the defensive coordinator is Rob Smith, and he has plenty of history of Greg Schiano. What can we expect from Rutgers, and how can Michigan State attack that?
Yeah, I mean, this is where this needs to be Michigan State's kind of confidence builder of a game, because Rutgers, as we know, was just brutal on defense last year, one of the worst in the country, and especially up front, they're really weak. And this is where this is why Greg Schiano's recruited hard after the defensive end position, because he runs a 4-3 defense and he loves to just have those guys who just whip tail at the defensive end, and so that he doesn't have to blitz as much, that he can be he loves to move his linebackers around. It only is going to work if they just dominate in that one gapping four-man front on defense. I don't think they're built for that at all right now. So it'll be interesting to see if he forces it, or if he realizes, you know, we've got to play a little different way right now. My understanding of Greg Schiano, if I had to be a betting man, is that he will probably force it, because he forced it the last time he was a defense coordinator at Ohio State. They did not have, you know, they had some personnel losses, and he would keep doing the same thing where he'd play these linebackers up at the line of scrimmage. He'd vacate the middle of the field. And again, they'd give up these huge 70, 80 yard runs because they didn't have those defensive ends who could just kind of blow the play up in the backfield. And it was to a point where he was getting asked about it like every week on the Big Ten teleconference, and just said, you know, we kind of do what we do. So I don't expect, you know, we talk about Rob Smith having worked with Greg Schiano. It's Greg Schiano's defense that Rob Smith is helping run. I mean, that's why Greg Schiano's gotten where he is. So I think he'll do what he does, and I think it's going to help Michigan State out a lot this week because Rutgers just doesn't have the personnel to do it.
Yeah, Michigan State last year, 11 different offensive linemen started games for them, which is a crazy number and not what you're looking for. But if you want to turn that into a positive spin zone, you have 11 guys that started games last year, and that you can twist that to describe that as an offensive line with experience. And maybe that's something that Michigan State could take into Saturday and maybe exploit with the run game against Schiano's defense in the front seven there.
I think they definitely can. I mean, this is, like I said, I'm most concerned with the offensive line at Michigan State, particularly the tackles after Jordan Reed opted out. But, you know, this is a game where, like I said, that's Rutgers' weakest position is those edge defenders. And also, like you said, there's a lot of experience, at least in the middle of it. I think you could kind of tell Matt Allen's kind of licking his chops this week just to get out there and play and kind of set a line of scrimmage. And I think that's going to be the way they need to try and win this week, is let's just go up. Let's play where Rutgers can't play. And I think that's at the line of scrimmage.
All right, well, let's move on to the other sides of the ball for each of these teams, taking the Rutgers offense versus the Michigan State defense. And we'll start with the Rutgers offense on first. Their offensive coordinator is Sean Gleason. He was the offensive coordinator at Princeton from 2017 to 2018, and last year he was the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. Michigan State's defense coordinator is Scotty Hazleton. He has previously been the defensive coordinator at Nevada, Wyoming, and Kansas State, at least those last three defensive coordinator stops. And he was also with Mel Tucker in Jacksonville in the NFL. So the Gleason Schiano connection appears to be a relatively new one, while Hazleton and Tucker have a pretty solid relationship. But as I said, let's start with Rutgers offense. What can we expect from Sean Gleason and whoever is starting quarterback for them?
Yeah, that they're playing the mystery game too. You know, I would happen to guess, you know, since Sean Gleason came in and he was a big reason that Noah Vedral transferred from Nebraska, which is a kind of modern style offense. You know, I have a feeling he's the favorite to do this, that they're going to kind of start fresh and do their own thing rather than go to guys that Rutgers played with and struggled with before. And I think the whole idea of Shiano going after a guy like Gleason was, you know, to fulfill a promise to get a more modern offense.
Yeah.
You know, he built Rutgers, you know, from the ground up one time, but this isn't the same thing as 2005. You know, this is the identity crisis Michigan State went through. So it was interesting to see him go out and get a guy from Oklahoma State who, you know, who had an offense where Chuba Hubbard ran for 2,000 yards. I think that's going to be kind of the way they try and lean in this game, even though obviously they don't have a Chuba Hubbard. But their running back, Isaiah Pacheco, I think it's pronounced, ran for 729 yards last year. So he's definitely their most experienced and productive player who's back. So I think you'll see, like we said with Michigan State, I think they're going to run a lot too, since they've got new quarterback. And heck, we don't even know if they've told the quarterback which one's going to end up starting. So there's a lot of unknowns everywhere, but there's more unknowns in the passing game than the run game. So I expect them to lean on that.
Yeah, and that makes sense too, because Michigan State is missing five. They have to replace four point five starters in the front seven. So it seems like that might be a place for them to attack early.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you're getting a Michigan State defense that's changing, and you know, and it's personnel for the. It's personnel, but also it's scheme for the first time in a few years. And that's definitely the side of the ball. It's weird to think about this, but in terms of returning personnel and who's established at what they are, I think that's the side of the ball that's got a few more questions in the offense for once this year.
All right, well, let's move on to the Michigan State defense. On Tuesday, Spartan Speak, Chris Solari kind of intimated that he thought it's possible that we might see Michigan State run a 4-2-5 just based on the type of personnel that they have available, with Simmons and Harvey as the linebackers, and then maybe bringing up maybe Michael Dowell as potentially a safety playing kind of a rover type position. Is that something Hazelson has done in his past, or is that not something you would not expect to see on Saturday?
It is quite a bit like how Hazelton did it at Kansas State. What's interesting to see is how much of that I do kind of agree about the personnel, because you've got, we know what Antoine Simmons is, and Noah Harvey played a little last year, but especially Antoine Simmons is such a rangy guy that he can play in a two linebacker set decently well compared to some other guys you might try and force into that role. What's going to be interesting to see is, you know, how much of what Hazelton did at Kansas State was, you know, what he wants to do with a defense versus what he was up against in the Big 12 before he even recruited any players. You know, Big 12 is just kind of trying to survive on defense. And so what he would do there is he would run a 4-2-5, two high safeties, and then often that robber type safety, or just a nick, you know, extra DBs on the field in kind of a nickel or dime set, pretty much deciding, you know, we're not going to dominate on defense, but we're going to make you drive the length of the field. We're going to eliminate the 80-yard bombs and hope that in the course of an 8-play drive, you turn it over. That's not always the way people have to play defense in the Big Ten. You shouldn't fear Rutgers the same way that you fear offenses in the Big 12, but that's what he went with last year. And defensive install is the hardest thing about not having the live reps for as long as they did. That is not as well done over Zoom as learning your role in an offensive playbook. So, I'm really curious how they do that.
I think we're seeing that in the NFL too. Obviously, you know, I think points are coming at a premium. If you're a betting man, the over is hitting the total points in the game an extensive amount of time compared to.
Yeah, and the SEC is seeing points galore right now.
Yep.
So I just think when you have lots of turnover at the college level, like Michigan State does on defense, and then you haven't had the normal install process, and then your week one is conference opponents. This is where Michigan State lucked out as well as they could getting Rutgers week one. Not that it's a freebie win, but that it's the closest that any team has to a normal week one non-conference before getting smacked in the face like Nebraska's going to have at Ohio State.
Well, good job getting Ohio State mentioned in there. As Nate is from the home state from the state of Ohio.
That's why we brought back Big Ten football, so that they could get a team in the playoff and get that TV money and all that fun stuff. So, they're all just playing their part, right? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know if you can answer this question or not regarding Haslam's defense, but is there a particular position that seems to be like a the prime position, like the most important position within his defense?
Yeah, it's linebacker. He's a linebacker's coach by trait. Obviously, Mel Tucker's been a linebacker's coach as well. But when you're going to roll with two linebackers, those two guys have to be pretty darn good, because you could have linemen climbing in the pocket to get to them. So there's a certain size level there. But then they're also the ones kind of handling tight ends right out of their releases. There's just not as many guys to zero in on if you're the offense at that level. So one of them's obviously the communicator who's going to help put it together, which we know is Antoine Simmons. But it really, you can't quite have scrubs there unless you just have a studly defensive line, which I do think that is the strength of this Michigan State defense, but it's not to the point where you can just throw anyone out there at linebacker. So they're putting a lot on Antoine Simmons's plate.
Yeah, and I think
as a leader.
I think he's up to the task too.
I think he is. This is where it kind of fits decently well. If you're going to move things in a certain direction and say, like, this position has to ball out this year, you want that to be Antoine Simmons's position, not just because he's a good player, but because you just have the trust that that he'll fit along with the guys around him, and he'll get the guys around him to fit what he's doing as well as possible.
So do you potentially may have said this and I missed it. Do we see Rutgers like going? You mentioned the running attack at Oklahoma State a year ago. Do you see them going with a run one back set and three wide receivers, or do they like? Will Scott Gleason go four or five wide at times?
I think they'll probably go one back set a lot, but it's kind of hard to say. The hard thing here is Sean Gleason loves his tight ends.
Yeah,
Play action and work the tight ends in, and that is. There's nothing established at Rutgers at all. And so that's the part where kind of like, do they just run it and say, God willing, or do they say, you know what, this team's not really set for that aspect of what we like to do. Yeah. So we're going to play a little different. You'll probably see a mix between that. I bet they'll use receivers more than he wants to, but the bread and butter of their offense is still using tight ends, and they'll find a way to do it.
So maybe a lot of two tight end sets.
They could have four tight end sets, and I wouldn't be shocked.
Okay.
I just know.
I love it.
Well, one thing about them, they love to go hurry up. So you'll see offensive linemen rotating in there, especially if they don't feel like guys are built up to it yet with the flow of the offseason that we've had. So, but this is a hard game to figure out, because the ideal setting for a Shiano team, you can see what he eventually wants is a hurry up offense that kind of puts the foot on the gas and ends life for the opposing team. And he just relies on his defense. I don't think he can feel that way with the defense he's inheriting. So how much do they kind of preserve clock on offense? I don't know. It's both teams are kind of guessing in that way.
The theme for this week has been, or maybe even the entirety of the offseason, a lot of unknowns. Perfectly sums up both teams. All right.
Sure. But I will say the thing that's interesting to me, that the Michigan State, we talked a lot about how Scotty Hazleton did things with the 4-2-5. Mel Tucker is not traditionally a 4-2-5 guy. He is a 3-4 hybrid guy. I think it's very likely they're going to have a lot of flexibility within all of that. But it was answering a question earlier about, yes, that's what Hazleton normally does. But we know Mel Tucker is going to have plenty of an imprint on this. And I think it'll vary between 3 and 4 man fronts as a result of that.
I don't know if, I don't know. Does Michigan State have the personnel to go a 3-4 at this point? Would be a question I would have for that. So
not as a base defense,
right.
But there's always some settings, especially if it's obvious pass down and you bump, certain players inside where they can make it work.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that'll wrap up that portion of it. And throughout the season, we're going to add a couple other we'll talk about that stuff, and then we'll add a couple other segments as the season goes along here. But we'll also have this segment that we're coming up that we'll do every week, and that is Big Ten picks. Nate and I are going to pick all of the Big Ten games, and we'll see who does better each week, and we'll have a winner at the end of the year. And there's no real prize for it or anything. Maybe we'll come up with a prize at some point in the season, but right now it would just be bragging rights.
We'll see how we each have to see how we start out in week one and what we're willing to wager and how close it is.
If I go if I go 3-4 in the first week, then we're not doing it. Then there's no there's nothing at stake. All right.
Yeah.
I'm doing the games in order of start time. So first up on Friday, Illinois at Wisconsin. Nate.
Yeah, I mean, this is the game when Wisconsin pulled laid the egg last year, and Illinois kind of turned their season around. Wisconsin wants revenge for that game. It's stuck in their craw. So especially to get Illinois at home at Camp Randall with the uncertainty, you certainly lean on the more established program. That's the Badgers.
I will also take Wisconsin. Rutgers at Michigan State.
Ooh, the big one. I think you got to go with Michigan State, though. It's going to be quite a bad year if they can't take care of Rutgers at home. But I think they can come out and lean on some of those skill players, and Rutgers isn't going to have enough of an answer for it. So we'll go with them.
Yeah, even in Michigan State's few leaner years, they've still basically been on Rutgers except for 2 years ago. So I think it's going to be Michigan State as well. Nebraska at Ohio State.
Yeah, like I alluded to, I don't think Nebraska has a very good chance in that. And I think because they were the school leaking things in the offseason, it's not a coincidence that the Big Ten said that's where you get to go to start your season. So, yeah, Ohio State.
But Ohio State was complaining too. So it's so.
Yeah, but they weren't leaking the secrets the Big Ten had to try and, announce a new season.
That's true. All right, Penn State at Indiana.
This one's interesting. That Indiana roster is a lot better than people would expect. Got a lot back on defense. Pretty good quarterback in Penix. But it's one of those kind of things where Indiana's a program that's still got to show me. So I'm going to go Penn State in a very close one. If Indiana wins this, it could be a huge confidence booster.
Yeah, I really went back and forth on this one as well, but I ultimately went with Penn State. Iowa at Purdue.
Another one that's really hard, but I'm kind of leaning Purdue. I think the Rondale Moore show is enough to bet on, and Iowa's got huge quarterback questions too, and they're a team that when they have quarterback questions can be a much lower version of themselves.
Yeah, I think this is a pick I'm going to end up regretting because I went with Iowa, but we'll see what happens. Michigan at Minnesota.
Ooh, this is a College Game Day one, right?
I believe so. Yes.
I'm going to go with Michigan. This one's really tough too because I think there's a chance Minnesota is the best team in the West, but Michigan, the line of scrimmage is just usually tough enough, and that one's tough, but I'll go Michigan.
Yeah, even though this is the Spartan Speak podcast, I also went with Michigan. Those could be some famous last words from us on this part, especially if Minnesota, and Bateman and the quarterback come out and just light the sky up. But all right, last game, Maryland at Northwestern.
I'm going to go with Northwestern. They were pretty much the normal Pat Fitzgerald defense last year, but had absolutely no offense. So just getting Peyton Ramsey as a transfer quarterback, I think, is more than what Maryland's going to have to roll with.
I have to admit, I'm surprised you went with Northwestern. I went with Northwestern as well, but I think there's a little bit of buzz around Maryland with Tua Tagovailoa's younger brother, the starting quarterback there now. So.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, Northwestern's got to figure a lot out. They got a new offensive coordinator as well. But I just, guy like Peyton Ramsey's played enough Big Ten games. I think week one, he gets it done.
All right, you've talked me into it, that I made the right choice in picking Northwestern in the first place. All right, I'll ask you this, since we did it on Tuesday's podcast. What's the Big Ten title game?
I think the Big Ten title game is going to end up being Ohio State against Minnesota. I just think there's enough offensive questions on Wisconsin and Iowa this year that it's slightly different. That kind of goes against me saying Minnesota's going to lose week one, right, though, at home. So I don't know how I'm going to square that, but this has got to be Minnesota's year if they're going to break through with the quarterback and receiver talent they have and building off of last year.
Well, there's seven games after this. A lot can and will happen between now and then.
Yeah.
All right, man. I think this is a great first podcast. I enjoyed doing this, and I hope the listeners enjoyed it. And because we're going to keep doing this every week, so hopefully some insight into Michigan State and Rutgers and how those teams run their teams in terms of offense and defense.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good start to this. Like I said, we're just trying to get better 1 week at a time. And hopefully along those lines, by next week, we'll have actually lined up some kind of bet for the picks when Phil is four picks behind me, even though I think we picked all but the same two. So I don't know how that math works.
Yeah,
but
like you said, we're trying to get better every week. We're 0-0 every week. That's what I'm going to tell myself for the podcast and for our weekly picks. All right.
Exactly.
All right, thank you for joining us for this edition of Spartan Speak, a production of the Lansing State Journal, Detroit Free Press, and the USA Today Network. If you enjoy this podcast and the work surrounding it, please consider subscribing. You can follow our coverage at lsj.com, freep.com, and on Twitter, at @Phil_friend and at @NateAtkins_. Thanks for listening.